What's going on, everybody? You're here with another episode of Big Talk with Leezy with your host, Leezy the Gifted. And I'm sure that if you're doing what I'm doing, you are jamming out to the Indian Happy Birthday song. Love that song. Boy, oh boy, do we have an amazing episode planned for you today. A little New Year's Eve episode. We're going to talk New Year's Eve concepts. We're going to talk a lot of great big talk. And I want to introduce a very, very special guest that we have on the podcast. Yoga instructor and guide and mentor. Exercise enthusiast and instructor. Swim coach. Athlete. Master's student. Bachelor's degree graduate. Laura Gross.
Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for having me. This is an honor. It's so Cheers. Much fun. I'm having a great time already.
Cheers. Okay, so here's what I want to know, Jer. So, New Year's Eve, right? It's a big time for people to, you know, do their New Year's resolutions. And you and I have had talks about New Year's resolutions and all that. And I really want to know, what are your thoughts on New Year's resolutions?
I don't know. I don't love them. I think it brings me anxiety. Like, I feel like I'm already good enough the way that I am. Mm-hmm. And I'm growing every day and trying to be better every day. And, you know, always growing. But why does it have to be on January 1st that I start a resolution? Why can't I start on December 29th or right now? You know what I mean? Like, I'm already growing to be better. So why are you telling me that January 1st I have to make all these changes? Right. I mean, little things, yeah, but I don't know. It's a bunch of BS. Like, you see a bunch of people at the gym January and February. Right. Get the hell out of there. You're going to give up. Like,
exactly.
It ruins people who, you know, they've been working out year round,
right.
And they have their shit together.
Yep.
You know?
No, I agree with you. No, I agree. I remember we were just talking about how, like, I think they should have a gym only open for the first 3 weeks of January every year for just the people who want to do it as New Year's resolutions, because it gets annoying when you go to the gym, you've been going all year, and the New Year's resolution people come in the first 2, 3, maybe 4 weeks and screw up the parking lot and get in the way, and you know they're going to be gone, so why don't you just not even come? Don't come messing it up for everyone else. I wanted to spit another idea at you, too, or piggyback on what you said. You said, why not just change now, right? Now, this episode is out on December 31st, 2018, but the concept lasts. Like, why not just start now? So speak on that. Do you think people use New Year's resolutions as, like, kind of a way to, like, procrastinate?
Possibly. I think that people who do these New Year's resolutions that aren't specific and measurable, I think that they're lazy. And they're like, oh, I got to lose weight, or, oh, I got to eat better. And it's like, that's not measurable. Good luck. You're going to stop after a week. You're going to want that cheeseburger. You're going to stop going to the gym. Right. You know what I mean? But if you make it specific and measurable, why can't you start today? Why do you have to wait till January 1st? You're lazy.
I agree.
You're using that as an excuse to be like, I started January 1st. It's a clean slate. Like saying, oh, I'm going to go to the gym. I'm going to start on Monday. Why? What's your issue? Mm-hmm. Start on Sunday. Who cares?
Right.
Start now.
No, I agree with that. So you said people make New Year's resolutions that are not, what'd you say, not measurable?
Well, I'm generalizing. I mean, I don't know everyone's resolutions. I mean, from what I've heard, people, oh, I gotta lose weight. I'm gonna go to the gym.
I'm gonna read more. I'm gonna floss my teeth more.
But those aren't measurable. And when you make a goal, you have to make it specific and measurable. Like, okay, I'm gonna start going to the gym 3 times a week to this yoga class, or to do something specific rather than the gym more. Okay, what does that mean? That's not measurable and specific.
Right. No, I agree with you. And to add to that, My thing about New Year's resolutions, people make these little New Year's resolutions, but it's not even for a goal in mind. They don't have a goal. They're just like, I need to read more. Or I need to, why do you need to do that though? See, I've learned over the years, it's better to put a focus on, maybe put a focus on the year if you want to do that. Like I put focus on the year and I go, okay, here's my focus for the year. Like I've got a big goal for the year. So I'm going to put these little, you know, strategies in place toward that. Not just, you know, man, I need to go running more. Why do you need to, well, running is great, but for what though? Like, do you want to lose 10 pounds? Do you want to get fit?
Why didn't you start that in September?
Yeah, exactly.
You
know what I mean? Exactly.
But I also, since I've been in school my whole life, I feel like New Year's is kind of weird to me because I start school in August and I finish in May or June. And I feel like that's the end of my year. That's when I can reflect.
Right.
But then it's like, okay, I have another semester coming up and then there's a summer. It's just a weird situation for me. And it, I don't know. I just don't believe in it. Like, I like to reflect, but I also like to reflect in May. Just because of the way my life's going.
Totally.
If that makes sense. I mean, everyone's different. And
right. So you're saying that because you're a student, you're just, your timetable's just different.
Yeah. That's okay. Why this pressure on New Year's is like, okay, tomorrow's a new day. Great. It's 2019. I'll go out. I'll go on a hike, have some fun, you know? Like, I'll celebrate the day and I'll celebrate New Year's Eve. But just no pressure to set a New Year's resolution.
No, I feel you. Point. I was just reading the book you and I are both reading, You Are a Badass at Making Money. There's a part mentioned in that book. The author Jen Sincero mentions that Einstein said the whole idea of a 24-hour day is a hoax. And I haven't gotten deeper into that, but I started realizing that these weird timetables, January, February, these months, weeks, days, and then the days of the week are like these cookie cutter templates that society puts on us that we have to fit into. It's kind of weird because New Year's Eve is December 31st, a Monday, and then New Year's Day is a Tuesday, and you know everybody's going to go out and probably, not everyone, but go get wasted and maybe miss work.
Mm-hmm.
We just had Christmas too, and it's like, I don't know, it's weird. I agree with you on these timetables get kind of weird, I think.
Yeah, I don't know, I used to go on diets and stuff, you know, as a woman trying to lose weight, like look good, but they never worked, and I don't believe in diets at all. Mm. I believe in balance, but I used to go on them and, you know, Friday hit and I went out drinking or whatever I did, and then I was like, all right, I'm screwed till Monday, and I used to get into this vicious cycle of, okay, I messed up Thursday, all right, time to eat bad until Sunday,
right.
And then I'm starting Monday because it's a clean slate. So also, I think that's why I have so much negativity towards New Year's Eve, New Year's Day resolutions. Because it's like, okay, it's that day. I'm going to start. It's like, no, it's not going to work. It's not. Like,
right.
if you set a huge goal, it's probably not going to work. Good luck.
Right.
You're better off just not setting one. Because then you're going to feel, like, bad about yourself when you set one and don't lose weight or whatever you're trying to do, you know?
So, okay, I agree with you 1,000%. Let's talk perspective, because people are listening to this, it's December 31st, or maybe they're hearing this on January 1st or 2nd or 3rd, and it's New Year's time anyway. So you said they're better off not setting a goal. What? Maybe they do want to set a goal though, right? Do you think they need to have that New Year's in mind, or can they just say, look, let me just set a goal and kind of ignore New
Year's? I think ignore New Year's, because there's this weird pressure of like, okay, it's 2019, I'm starting this new year, and then I'm going to look back and be better.
Right.
But if you don't have that pressure of, oh, it's a new year, I feel like they're better. Just set a new goal,
right.
You know? And then if it doesn't work, then make it a little bit more specific or smaller.
Right. No, I agree with you. Like, for me, it was when I graduated. So Laura, for those of you who don't know, Laura's getting her master's degree right now at Long Beach State. So she's still in school. For me, when I graduated Chico State and I decided I'm done with school, that has, I've kind of just been measuring since then. And that was May of 2017. Yeah. And it's just been like then. I'm not thinking, well, how did 2018 go? I'm like, no, how did it go since I've graduated? Because my life changed so much. So, yeah, and I don't know, like January's here and it's cool. And I'm totally into the New Year's spirit because I love holidays. But, yeah, I'm just not feeling the whole, oh, man, I need to run more. I need to do this more. I don't know. I just am feeling like I'm still just
killing it's it still, every day.
Yeah, like I'm still going off of the May 2017 thing. So
yeah,
so,
it takes me, you know, a couple months to even write 2019 in my damn date.
On the
like
top of your paper.
Yeah.
Right.
Every year that happens.
Right. So you said that you've gone on diets and they didn't work. What kind of diets have you gone on, and why'd you go on them?
I went on the Atkins diet one time.
Okay.
It's getting rid of not eating any carbs and only eating protein and fat, which sounds counterintuitive, but it worked for a while. Like, you get to eat a lot of meat and, you know, like heavy whipping cream, stuff like that. But the idea is, like, you cut out the carbs and you lose fat. And it worked, but then, you know, like, you just yo-yo. You go back up.
Right.
Because you deprive yourself. Every time you deprive yourself, I took this class in college called Health at Every Size, and it's about like loving your body for what it is and learning about all these diets that do not work.
Mm-hmm.
And the professor was saying, like, if one diet worked, then why are there so many diets?
Mm-hmm.
And I just think of it more, it should be a lifestyle and a balance. You shouldn't label foods as good and bad, and you shouldn't restrict yourself because you're depriving yourself. You're not living a happy, healthy life if you're depriving yourself.
Right.
Because then you're going to overeat it later.
Right.
That's how it works. So if you deprive yourself and you're like, oh, I'm going to eat salads for dinner and, you know, I'm going to follow this. I used to follow, like, strict routines of, like, okay, I have this for breakfast, this for lunch, this for dinner. What the heck was I thinking? Mm. And then I binged. I overate because I was so deprived. Your body goes into starvation mode. So, didn't work.
So, obviously you know the pod I did with Paul Escobio, yes. The Mindful Eating Podcast. So great to meet Paul because it's like, it's so crazy how you and Paul, the whole mindful lifestyle, you guys are like twins. Like, you're exactly alike.
Well, I look up to him in many ways.
I do too. No, yeah. I absolutely do too. And for everyone who hasn't gone and listened, I have an episode called Mindful Lifestyle with Paul Escobio. You should definitely go back and listen to it. It's an amazing episode. But so I know, I mean, you live an extremely mindful lifestyle. Can you talk about how you got to start living that lifestyle?
Yeah. So I really got into yoga my freshman year of college, and it kind of changed my life in a large way. Every time I left a yoga class, I was just so, like naturally high. And doing yoga really inspired me to kind of love my body and love myself more. And ever since then, I've kind of just been better about, like, less body shaming and more loving yourself, and then also intuitive exercise. Like, sometimes I run and I don't like it, but for the most part, like, the feeling after is amazing, and just eating balanced, and I think it all stemmed from yoga, for sure.
Okay.
Because you're more mindful of your body and your emotions. You take care, every time you do yoga, you become a better person. Mm-hmm. So that kind of stemmed into mindful exercise, mindful eating.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk more about yoga because that's a huge part of your life and, you know, it's become a part of my life as well since meeting you. A lot of people, I try to get my friends to go to yoga classes or whatever and I know it's going to help them and they always go, I'm not flexible enough, I'm not strong enough, I can't do these poses. And please talk about how crap that whole thing is.
So that, yeah, it really pisses me off because...
It pisses me off too.
Because society today makes yoga seem like you have to be flexible and do these crazy pretzel poses and like be a woman and be skinny and blonde.
Yeah.
But that's not what it's about, and it came from India, and it's about studying yourself and becoming a better person through the poses and through the breathing and the mindfulness so that you can show up for others. And it really depends on the instructor you take because, honestly, some instructors are intense and they do way too many chaturangas, if you know what that is.
What is that?
A push-up, like you start in a high plank and you lower down to the ground and then you lift your heart into a back bend, you go into down dog. And they do way too many of those and they do these pretzel poses and they make you feel like crap if you can't do them.
Mm.
And so that's also where people get this myth of like, oh, I went to a yoga class and it was so hard.
Mm.
Why the heck was it hard?
Right.
It's not supposed to be hard.
No.
It's supposed to be relaxing.
Right.
You know, well, it depends. If you take a fast-paced, hot yoga class, like, yeah, it's going to be harder.
Right.
But even then, you should leave feeling rejuvenated, not angry.
Oh, I feel that. Well, they have these styles of yoga that are difficult. Like, well, I don't want to speak on classes that I haven't done. But I have done yoga classes at gyms. Like, I've done yoga class at 24 Hour Fitness. And it's hard, literally. And, yeah, I agree with you. How about that video we saw today? Tell them about that video we saw on Facebook.
Oh, of some yogi doing a handstand on a rock over a cliff.
She was, like, over a freaking cliff, like, thousands of feet up in the air. And she was doing a handstand, and her feet were going, like, freaking over her head or something. And it's like,
yeah,
if she falls, she's going to die. But she's doing it, and it's I hate it too, because it makes, it's like, that's yoga. She supposedly is, quote, you'd look at her and go, she's good at yoga.
Yeah, I took a class from this guy named Jonathan my freshman year of college at Chico State, and he really changed my life and inspired me to become a yoga instructor, and he wasn't that flexible, and it was pretty cool, because he was humble, and he just guided you through a basic practice, and never made anyone feel bad, and it was all about getting that good energy into your body, and not about competition with each other. So ever since I took his class, I kind of, you know, took some parts of it and brought it into my own classes. And I never want to make anybody feel like they're not good enough in a class. I want everybody to be welcome. And I'm teaching the Long Beach State men's golf team right now. I go to them like once a week and teach yoga. And the first thing I said to them is, you're in good hands. There's not going to be any competition with my style. It's all going to be deep stretching, and you're going to feel relaxed after. And they really like it, because it's not intense.
Right.
It's not pretzel poses. It's deep stretching and being okay with not being able to touch your toes, because it'll come, but that's not the goal of yoga.
Okay.
It's about calming your mind.
Right.
Getting that inner peace.
I don't know if you'll be able to answer this, but what's like the most important part of yoga for a beginner?
I don't know how to answer it.
If I'm a beginner, let's say.
Okay.
And I go into my yoga class. First of all, if I'm a beginner and I want to try out yoga.
Take my class. Okay.
That's for sure the recommendation. Okay. I agree with that. But let's say you can't. Let's say someone's in Walnut Creek and you're in Long Beach. They can't take your class. And they're looking around and maybe they get to, you know, Just Be Yoga or... what's that other one we hate? Yoga Works or Indigo, whatever.
Okay.
And they're looking at these different types of classes and they don't know. What style do you think a beginner should try? Or how should they break into yoga?
Everyone's different.
Mm-hmm.
So my style, you might not like my style. You know what I mean? Like, you might like the fast pace. You might like the yin style. I think you just have to kind of try out different styles and see what fits best.
Okay.
And go into it with an open mind. If you don't like a teacher, that doesn't mean that you hate yoga. Because every teacher is distinctly different. Everyone has their own style. Even though it seems like, oh, all yoga instructors are similar, they're not.
Mm.
I've taken distinctly different classes.
So it's like they'll say it's the same style class, two different teachers, two different classes.
It's kind of like if you like a teacher, you're going to make it a priority to be at their class.
Right.
Whether it be 8 a.m., 6 a.m., you're going to go. Because that person makes you feel good and gets you yoga high the rest of the day. If a teacher does not get you yoga high, that's not a teacher for you.
Okay.
Yoga high means you're relaxed, you're zen, nothing bothers you after a class. You walk out really zen. Do you know what I mean? You felt yoga high.
Oh, I know exactly. I've done it. I know what you mean. So, okay, let's do this really quick. Really quick. Break down in like a sentence or two. Say the style of yoga and say what that style is. Can you do that right now, or is that like inappropriate? Like vinyasa is this, okay. Yin yoga is this, relax. What,
yeah.
Quick talk about it, really quick.
Vinyasa is moving with your breath, moving your body with your breath, basically.
Cool, okay.
Yin yoga is you're holding poses for a little bit longer, it's a little bit more relaxing, deeper stretching. And then restorative is you're kind of holding these really relaxing poses, and I find restorative very difficult because your mind's wandering because you're just laying down and doing these poses. But it also can be very effective if you're able to calm the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Iyengar is you use a bunch of different props to find alignment in the body, and you're able to go deeper into the body.
If I may, Iyengar for me personally is hard, but it's honestly my favorite style of yoga.
Yeah.
It's extremely hard for me because I'm super stiff. And it puts you in some tough poses that, like...
You gotta breathe it out, and you gotta deal with it.
Yeah, like, I get scared when I watch Iyengar poses. I'm like, oh my god, I'm about to do that. And I do it, and I'm okay. And I come out, and I'm like, whoa. Like, I'm like, in that second, I'm a new person.
It's crazy. Yeah. I'd have to say Iyengar is probably my favorite.
Yeah.
Like, I do back bends out of chairs, and it improves your posture, and there's crazy benefits to Iyengar because you're using these props that really enable you to get deeper into the poses and the benefits. Like, back bends are supposed to really increase your overall well-being, and I notice it. Like, I'll do a 5-minute back bend in the morning, and my posture feels better. my mood feels better. I feel happier. It's crazy.
Right.
But I don't, sometimes I don't get that in a vinyasa class where you're not using props, if that makes sense.
Totally.
So I kind of like to combine them, you know? Okay. Like Eddie Modestini, he's a father yoga teacher. And he says he doesn't teach one style of yoga, he just teaches yoga.
Right.
Because everybody's different and everybody needs something different.
Yeah.
And it's not one yoga style is right.
Okay. So we've got vinyasa, we've got yin, we've got restorative, we've got Iyengar. And are we missing any?
There's a couple other, like Hatha, Ashtanga. That's similar to vinyasa.
Right. So, but, okay. Okay, cool. So, what is core power yoga?
I have no idea. But I don't really want to know.
I asked because the reason I asked you, I know that's not a classic yoga style. It's because people are going to see that and wonder, well, wait, which one's that? And I think that's more of like an exercise thing, right?
Well, I'm pretty sure it's probably vinyasa-based classes. So, vinyasa is probably the most popular yoga class.
Oh, okay.
The other ones, you know, they're at studios. But if you go to a gym, you're probably going to get a vinyasa class, if that makes sense.
But, like, exercise-based. No, because I've been to yoga classes at 24. I don't know what the heck they were called, but she called it yoga. And it was difficult. Like, literally, they put you in poses. They make the pose hard to hold, and they hold you there. And they kind of are like, come on, you can do it. Like, it's like freaking getting a personal training session. I hated it. It's not for me. A lot of people love it. They like getting their sweat on. They like burning their muscles. Not for me, so... Okay, so let me ask you another thing. I'm a beginner, and I'm like, okay, I'm just gonna like Google yoga classes in my local area, vinyasa. Okay, I go. So now I'm into this freaking yoga class now. I have no clue what to. What's the mindset going into this yoga class? If I'm a beginner.
So.
Never done a class before.
Okay.
Or maybe I've done a few. And I'm like, you know what? I want to try out yoga after I heard Lee's podcast. Is there a certain mindset to go into it, or do you just need to go kind of no expectations?
Yeah, just kind of no expectations, because you never know. You never know what you're going to get. And, yeah.
Okay.
Like I've gone to classes that I've absolutely hated. And I'm like, why is this person even certified? You know, why are they here? They're not, they suck.
Right.
And I've gone to classes that I've loved. So you kind of just got to, you know, I got lucky. The first yoga class I ever took was that guy Jonathan in Chico.
Right.
And that's what really brought me on to yoga. But I could have taken another class that was not good and probably never gone to yoga ever again. Mm. So I say that if you're trying out yoga for the first time and you hate the first class, don't give up, please. Mm-hmm. Don't give up, because you're going to find somebody that you like. And it's going to change your life. Mm. Hopefully. Mm. Hopefully.
Cheers to not giving up.
Cheers.
Now, come on. So, I mean, my junior year of high school, I had to take yoga Pilates as a required, like, PE class. Hated it. Hated the teacher. Hated the yoga. And I pretty much gave up on yoga. But then, I don't know how I even rediscovered it. Maybe at 24. And then I met you and we started doing it together. And it was like... Whoo, yoga is freaking amazing. What are some benefits that you've gotten out of yoga?
Well, I've definitely gotten more flexible, but I don't care about that. Mm. It just comes with practice. I found what I like and what I don't like. And I'm able to kind of base my classes on putting everything that I love into a class and getting rid of the stuff I hate, type of thing. And mentally, stress reliever instantly after class. Your stress is pretty much gone, depending on the teacher. It reduced anxiety. Just makes me a better person. Like, I show up and I'm more relaxed, I'm more calm, and I'm more present. It's really hard to stay in the present moment. It's almost impossible. I mean, your mind wanders to the future in half a second. But after yoga classes, I find myself more mindful of each moment, and like, I enjoy the days more because I'm like, okay, I'm not really worrying about the future. I'm kind of just more high and relaxed and in this moment and trying to enjoy every moment in life. And sometimes, you know, I'll be angry or in a bad mood, and then I'm like, damn, I need yoga. And I do it just at home, like on this floor. I'll finish it and be like, my day's changed. And it's just, it's crazy. Yoga's medicine. It really is. Mm. You could be in the worst mood. You could be stressed the heck out. Everything going wrong in your life. And you do yoga. 30 minutes, whatever it is, 20 minutes. Just a little bit of stretching. Calms you down. Because we actually store emotions in our body. So when you deep stretch, you're releasing emotions out of your body, which correlates to a calmer mind. So like the tension in your body gets out, so then there's more space in your mind. Which is crazy, right? Like I used to stretch as a kid, like before swim practice, and be like, oh, I hate stretching. Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, totally. one leg out, I hate it. It's annoying. I don't want to stretch. It's uncomfortable. Mm. But then you actually realize, like, you breathe into it, you release the tension, and then you become more calm in your mind. It's crazy. Mm-hmm. That's why I value deep stretching. It's not about one breath per movement all the time. Let's hold this sucker for 10 minutes. Like, relax. Mm-hmm. Breathe into it. Get it out. Pigeon pose in your hips. You store a lot of emotions in your hips. We don't realize that. So when we get into pigeon pose right away, our hips are tight as heck. But if you breathe and you release it, the next time you come into it, it's easier. You also release those emotions that you've been storing in your body that you didn't even realize. Mm. It's crazy. And I didn't know this before I, you know, started reading about it and learning more. But a lot of different benefits. Mm. For women, it's great. If you have cramps, go into a forward bend. It's going to massage your internal organs and reduce your menstrual cramps. There's so many different poses you can do when you're on your period that help you. If your mind's wandering and you want to relax it, go into a forward bend. Mm-hmm. If you don't know what that is, look it up. Just basically you're standing up straight and you bend forward. Yeah. And you relax your head and neck. And it might be uncomfortable. You just got to breathe and relax. Soften your knees a little bit. If you hold that for 3 minutes, you release any depression in your mind.
Whoa.
Who would have known, right? It's crazy. Back bends improve your overall well-being. Get rid of depression, anxiety. So many different things in different poses. And that's why when I teach, I try to explain it a little bit. Not too much, but like if we're doing a twist, I'm like, okay, now in this twist, you're massaging your internal organs. You're removing excess toxins in your body. Did you know that? Like you probably didn't.
No, I didn't.
But most instructors don't explain the benefits. So you're like, what the hell is this? You know, what am I doing right now?
Right.
So I like to explain that so that people understand, wow, this is beneficial. It's not just physical.
That's amazing. So it makes me want to do some friggin' yoga right now. So what have been some, you know, you've been teaching, how long have you been teaching yoga now?
I think 3.5-4 years.
Really? It's been that long?
Yeah, I was a junior in college. Now I'm a, what am I now?
Second,
a master's degree.
Yeah, second year in master's. It's really been 3.5-4 years?
Yeah.
Damn, that's sick.
Thanks.
So talk about your journey of becoming a yoga teacher, because it didn't start so sweet, right?
Yeah, so after my freshman year, I was really inspired to want to teach, but I didn't know what the heck I was doing. Mm-hmm. At the rec center, you didn't have to be certified to become an instructor. Mm-hmm. So I kind of taught myself a couple poses that I'd learned from other instructors, and I was like, I got this. I got some good music, good playlist, and, you know, good cueing, and I practiced the moves. So I went into this audition with another instructor trying to be, or soon-to-be instructor, and she was pretty intimidating, and she went first. She took all my moves.
What?
Yeah.
But she did really? I don't even know the story.
Yeah, so she was like, I want to go first in the audition, because it was me and her. And we're kind of against each other to see who gets the job. Very uncomfortable.
She's competitive.
Yes.
Wait a minute. Oh, man. I never knew this one.
Yeah.
Okay,
so,
keep going.
So she went first, and she killed it. And
she took your moves.
She took my moves.
How do you know? Wait, how did she take your moves?
I mean, I had like 5 basic moves in mind. I put them into a flow.
Did she
but
see
I wasn't,
you?
No. I wasn't knowledgeable enough to be able to, I don't know, like, think about other poses at the time, which makes me realize, like, I'm glad I didn't get the job when I did. So anyway, she took my moves, and I was like, oh, geez. So I figured it out, But I wasn't confident, and I wasn't competent in what I was doing. And so I remember a couple days later, Brooke McCall, the programs coordinator at the Chico State Rec, called me. And she was like, Laura, you have so much potential. Like, you have such a calming voice, and I know that you could be an instructor one day.
But she called you?
She did. Yeah, I respect her
she,
for that.
Is she who you and she, did you do your audition in front of her?
Yes.
Okay. Damn, I didn't know she called you. That's sick.
And, you know, I was very bummed.
Right.
I think because she called me and because I believed in myself, I started to really immerse myself into yoga. And I took a one-unit course, and I started to go to this place called the Yoga Center of Chico. And I really got into it and learned as much as I could and kind of took what I wanted. And the next year, there was a job posting, yoga instructor, Chico State Rec, and I applied for it again. And she sent me an email saying, all right, come in for an audition. And I was so surprised. I thought she wasn't going to give me another chance, you know, because there's so many other people.
Of course.
And I auditioned again, a lot more confident and competent, and I got the job. So
nice.
It was crazy. Like, I could have just given up on myself right then and there. Like, oh, I suck. I'm not meant to do this. But
which a lot of people do, unfortunately, to themselves.
Yeah, and I think because I didn't give up on myself and I just kept going and kept moving forward and not letting anything stop me or anyone stop me and believing in myself, that's why I got the job. And I think that's why I am at the level I'm at today. Because of that experience, I believe in myself and everything. Failure is great because you learn from it and you grow and you don't give up and you don't let anything stop you and you move forward.
Right.
And I've learned that huge lesson through the rejection.
Mm. Damn, that's tight. That's some big talk right there.
Thank you.
Wow. Okay, so, and now you've been instructing for 3.5-4 years.
Yeah.
Holy crap. Do you want to keep teaching yoga?
For my whole life.
I love it. Where do you want to take your yoga? Like, where do you want to go next? Where's, like, I know you don't like to think about the future, but do you want to keep teaching it? Where do you want to keep teaching it?
I don't know.
Okay,
I
mean, cool.
I'm teaching at the Long Beach State Rec Center right now.
Okay.
And to the men's golf team. I also teach a one-unit course in yoga.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love where I'm at. And I know goal setting is important, and I should be thinking, where do I want to take it? But right now, I just love, I want to enjoy the last semester and provide so much value to people.
No, I and that's totally, like, honestly, it's probably smarter anyway. You know what I've noticed, by the way? Kind of a little off topic. Last night, right, we were at Jeff's house. We stopped by our buddy Jeff's. We were there with Jeff, Rob. And I noticed that we got into the same conversation that everybody our age gets into. What are you doing, and where are you going to go with that?
Yeah.
What are you doing right now? Where are you going with it?
Like,
and it's not...
What's your degree in? What do you want to do with it? Yeah, I hate there that we go. Question.
What's your degree in? If you've got one, what's your degree? What are you doing with it? Where are you going with
How
it?
How about you shut up and stop putting pressure on me? Leave me alone.
Leave me the heck alone, son of a gun.
It doesn't matter All what right. I'm going to do with my degree. I mean, I got a bachelor's degree in recreation, hospitality, and parks management.
That's sick.
And then I'm getting a master's degree in sport and exercise psychology. Two different things.
Mm.
But people ask me, you know, what are you going to do with your degree? I don't know. I'm going to get a master's in something completely different.
Right.
There's no right or wrong. I could get my master's and do something completely different. It's none of your business. And stop judging me.
No, I feel the same. How do you feel when you know, you tell people you're getting a degree in sport and exercise psychology and then they start trying to talk to you about being a sports psychologist? How do you feel about that?
Well, they think that that's what you can do with the degree. And it is. But I want to go into teaching.
I love it.
And I can do that with this degree. But people don't think that way. They're like, oh, sports psychology, you can become kind of like psychology. You can become a psychologist. But you can also teach it. You can also do whatever you want. So when people are like, oh, sports psychology, are you going to be a sports psychologist? Mm-hmm. No, I'm not. I'm going down the exercise psychology route. Yeah. Thank you for asking about exercise psychology. Like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Wait, is there a difference between exercise psychology and sports psychology?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. What's the difference?
Well, sports psychology is about, like, enhancing players, athletes' performance through these different mental skills. Mm-hmm. But exercise psychology is helping people with exercise. So not athletes.
Oh.
But helping them with skills to get them to stay in an exercise program or change their mindset before an exercise routine. Like positive self-talk and imagery and stuff like that. So yeah, there's definitely a difference.
What is exercise? How does exercise psychology tie into dieting?
You can. What do you mean?
Sorry. Well, honestly, here's what sparked that thought. You said that you talked about positive self-talk. You know, and I know dieting has a lot to do with people who have maybe negative self-talk. They think they're fat and they think they're ugly and they want to go on a diet. Does that? And obviously,
you can take any of these skills, sports psychology or exercise psychology, and apply them into anything in your life.
Okay, like
so
what?
That's what's really cool. Like if you have negative self talk about anything in your life, like body image or just your life in general, you can reframe, and it's called self talk, and you can learn how to reframe your thoughts into positive ones. Imagery, like imagining yourself with a $1 million house, like you know,
right?
Like imagining it, visualization, same thing.
So that's you're right. So keep talk a little more about some of the stuff you've learned in your master's program, because that's great. Like visualization, reframing your mind. What are some other things you've learned in your program about? Like talk about team cohesion. That's something that you and I have spoken about, and that's, I think, a really cool concept. Talk about that.
So a lot of people in my, well, not a lot of people, but some people in my program, they're working with sports teams right now, and they're teaching these mental skills, but they also do these like icebreaker activities to try to build team cohesion and teach these life lessons.
Okay.
I think team cohesion is really, really important.
What about, what are some of the other concepts you've learned in your sports psychology program? That you've, like, I just can't think of them right now, but, like, what are some stuff that you've talked to me about? Because I want people to hear my podcast, to hear stuff, because your program's super cool, and the stuff you're learning is dope, I think. Like, what you're getting out of it is sick.
Yeah, like, do you want mental skills, or, like, what do you mean? Because I'm taking multiple different classes.
Mental skills.
Well, that's about it for the mental skills.
Okay.
I mean.
So talk more about reframing your mind. What, you know, talk about how have you reframed your mind? How do you currently reframe your mind?
Well, when I have a negative thought, I'm aware.
Hmm.
And sometimes I let it be negative, but sometimes I stop myself. And I either write it down and reframe it or just do it in my mind. An example, I go running a lot and, you know, if there's any runners listening, you know, sometimes you dread it and you don't want to do it, but you know that it's addicting because you feel really good after.
Right.
Your day is amazing after the run and you're more energized throughout the day.
Right.
So you're going to do it.
Yep.
But getting there is hard sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know, you wake up in the morning and you go and you're tired. You don't want to do it. You just want to skip it.
Right.
So I've had negative thoughts. Oh my God, I don't want to do this. God dang it.
Right.
You know, right. I really don't want to do this. I want this to be over with. My legs are tired. I don't want to do this.
Right.
And then I took that exercise psychology class and I learned that you can actually change your mood through reframing something so little.
Right.
So I catch myself now. I'm going to feel so good after this run. I'm so proud of myself for running right now. I love where I'm at. I'm on the beach. I'm running on the beach. What a blessing. I'm grateful to have legs that I can run with, and I'm just going to go easy, nice and easy. No pressure. I'm not going to put any time limits on my run. I'm just going to ease into it. And with those thoughts, I'm able to have an enjoyable run rather than I hate this, let's get it over with and then just book it, you know?
Right.
So little things like that can really, really go a long way.
Shout out to Chad Mortensen. One of my prime listeners here. Chad runs every day, wakes up super early.
I'm inspired by him.
I know. Oh my God, I'm so inspired by Chad.
No coffee or anything. He just goes out for that 6 miler.
He literally told me, he's like, dude, I'll try and imitate him a little bit on the air here. Dude, when I wake up in the morning, I freaking hate my life before that run. But I gotta run, dude. I've gotta run. He sent me a picture of a donut that they had at school. They had donuts. And he's like, no way, I'm not ruining my run. What do you think of that?
Oh, like after his run? He said, no way, I'm not ruining what I just did. I disagree. It's all about mindful lifestyle. I mean,
I wish Chad was here to talk about it too, but no, speak on that. Because that's a real life example. People go through that.
Yeah, I mean.
Could he have had a bite?
Absolutely, and been not guilty about having a dang bite.
Right. How about Chad's cooking, by the way?
You know, sugar's addicting, and you want to have, like, 3 donuts because it tastes so good. So I understand where he's coming from, and I feel him, too. Like, I've done that before.
Right.
Oh, after a run, I don't want to have anything bad for me because I feel healthy.
Right.
And balanced right now, and I want to have a good rest of the day.
Right.
So I partially agree with him. But I also think that sometimes you don't need to always deprive yourself.
Right. How about Chad's cooking?
Amazing.
Isn't he one of the best cooks of all time? Holy crap.
Yeah.
Him and his wife, Michelle, are two of the best cooks I've ever. Oh, my God. I wanted to talk about an exercise that I was doing in the book that I've been reading, that Laura is now reading. The book is called You Are a Badass at Money by Jen Sincero. Shout out to Mandy Owens, who actually recommended the book. So I'm in chapter 2. The exercise is, let's not even frame it toward money. Let's just frame it for just anything in general. But in the book, it's about money. You take a negative thought, you write the thought down, whatever it may be. Then you ask a question based on that. You answer the question. You dive deep. Maybe you have to ask a couple questions and answer it a couple times. And then you rewrite the thought as a reframe. So that's an exercise that any of you listening, you can do that to reframe your mind. I'll give you,
go ahead.
I was just going to give him an example. All right, here. Why don't you go ahead and talk? I'm going to pull up the example. It's on my computer, and I want to read the example. Is that all right? Go ahead.
Sometimes this exercise is hard because your negative thought, you believe your negative thought, and it's hard to put it into nice words.
Mm-hmm.
So I recommend just starting small.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Well, give me.
You want to be able to believe what you're saying.
Right. Okay. Okay. What do you mean start small?
Like, I don't know. Like if you hate your body.
Okay.
Like, I hate my belly or something. You're not gonna say my belly looks amazing. You know what I mean? You're gonna have to start a little bit smaller.
I love that. So I'm going to give you guys an example. You know what? I'm going to give you an example right here. Should I do this one? The going out to eat one? Or the greedy one?
Either one. You choose.
I like the greedy one. I think the greedy one's a little more powerful. Okay, so here's an unhealthy thought that I've had about money. Okay, now my focus right now on my life is about money because I want to move out of my parents' house. I want to get my own car. Like, I want to live with my girlfriend who's sitting next to me, and I'm interviewing her right now, if you guys didn't know. And I want to, like, start helping people with their... I want to do a lot of stuff that is required with money. I'm happy without money, but it'd be damn nice to get a lot of, you know, to become wealthy. So my unhelpful thought was, I'm greedy for wanting to become wealthy. I'm greedy for wanting to become wealthy. So that's the unhelpful thought. The next thing I do is I ask myself a question. And the question I asked was, well, what makes people greedy? Now I answer that question. So I looked up the definition of greedy. It is having or showing an intense and selfish desire. That's the answer. Okay, now I wanted to ask myself another question. Do I want money only for selfish reasons? Answer, no. Although I'm motivated by luxurious items like cars, real estate, clothes, food, jewelry, etc., I also want to use the money to serve other people. I want to give money to charities. I want to help other people build their businesses. Right? Okay, so now I rewrite the thought. So the original thought, I'm greedy for wanting to become wealthy. I now rewrite the thought, my wealth will serve others. So that motivates me now to want to become more wealthy because I'm going to help other people. So that's an example for all of you listening that you can rewrite your thought. Let's do a fake example right now. Fake example. that maybe somebody listening could do. Let's try it. Let's talk. Exercise, diet, just some unhealthy thought. Okay. Yeah.
I feel like crap. I just ate that chocolate cake. I feel like a pig.
Right. I feel like a pig. I'm fat. Okay.
I screwed it up for the rest of the day.
Okay, so you just said, had an unhelpful thought. I would tell you, okay, now ask yourself a question about that.
Okay.
You said you ruined it for the rest of the day. Did you?
No.
Like, are you going to eat other, like, if this is breakfast or lunch, like, are you going to eat other meals?
Yes.
Maybe. Okay, yes. Okay. Do those other meals have to be unhealthy? Or can those other meals be healthy meals?
Absolutely.
Okay. Can you undo that meal you just had?
No.
No, okay. So how would we reframe that thought then?
Okay, it's time to move forward. I can't look back. I enjoyed that chocolate cake. And the next meal's a new meal.
I love that. And another thing to add to that, because I've had those same thoughts about food. So
you're not dwelling on the past. Right. Because when we dwell on the past, it creates suffering and depression, anxiety.
Right. No, exactly. I love the food example. We all deal with food. We all have to eat food. Absolutely. And we either are good at it or we're not good at it. And I wasn't, you weren't, now we both are. So I like the mindful approach a lot that Paul has done, that you've done. And now I sort of almost reframe my thoughts even before, because for example, I used to love to eat at Panda Express. I'm not as much now, but I used to. And before I began my meal at Panda Express, I'd go, okay, I'm making a conscious decision to go to Panda Express. If I go to Panda Express and I am beating myself up and I'm guilty and I'm going to feel like I have to go on a run after, I'm not going to enjoy the meal.
No.
So should I go to Panda still?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I should, because I want to freaking go. I haven't gone in months and I've been good about eating before. Go to Panda. Don't feel guilty about it.
Enjoy it.
Yes. And if you feel bad, maybe eat a little less. Maybe save some for later, right? Listen to your body is the point. That's on the food thing. The point is, for everyone listening, I know for a fact that every single person listening to this pod has negative thoughts. If you don't, you're lying to yourself, because we all do. I do.
Absolutely.
We're humans.
Yep, we do.
And so if you're listening to this pod, you have negative thoughts. And you need to work on reframing those thoughts, whether you like it or not.
To live a better life.
To live a better, happier life. We've given you many tools. We've talked about living in the present moment. We've talked about yoga, right? If you think yoga is corny, you need to stop being a hater and try it, honestly. But I'm not going to hate on people who hate. If you don't want to try yoga, there's so many other things you can do. I recommend it.
I disagree. You have to try it.
You have to try it.
It will change your life. Honestly, without yoga, I wouldn't have met this guy sitting next to me.
Oh, I love
Because I wouldn't have been such an amazing person that I am today because of yoga.
Oh, my God.
Sorry.
You're so right.
You have to try it.
Honestly.
You have to try it. You have to do it. You have to do a gentle class. Ease into it. Don't take anything intense. But it's a must, because it changes your life. If you think your life is good, it will enhance it.
I wouldn't have gotten the number if it wasn't for yoga.
Exactly.
Laura and I met, and she said she was teaching yoga, and I said, oh, that's cool, like, I want to take your yoga class, can I get your number? Got the number, we've been together 2.5 years.
One more thing I want to just talk about is living in the moment, because you just talked about it, but I heard this quote one time from a former master's student named Mackenzie, and she said, the past is depression, thinking in the future is anxiety. The present is all we have. And that really stuck with me, because...
Can you say it again?
Living in the past is depression. Living in the future is anxiety. And that my first year in my master's degree, that really stuck with me, because I was a little bit depressed because I kept thinking about Chico State and my college years and missing it and comparing. But ever since I've let that go and just been more in the moment, I've lived a better life. So every time you think into the future, you're going to get stressed. You're going to get anxiety. But if you're just in the moment and you're just noticing your surroundings and catching yourself when you go into the future or the past, that's the most neutral state of mind. That's when you're going to feel the happiness and be neutralized and not suffer. Every time you go into the future and the past, you're suffering. So life is more simple than you think. When you get all these problems, go back in the moment. Because there's no problems in the moment. Usually.
Sometimes there are. Sometimes if I stub my toe, there's a freaking problem in the moment.
No, there's not. You're getting stronger from that pain.
I don't give a damn. Stub my toe, that shit hurts.
But for the most part.
No, I know. Like, I'm totally kidding. You're right. No, ever since you told me that, I have really lived by that. And it's helped my life a lot.
I have this mantra where whenever I start to get anxious, I'm like, okay, I'm thinking in the future, obviously. And then I go here, like I inhale here, and I exhale now. And I'm like, here now, and it kind of anchors me. Really, something so little, and it seems so silly. But I challenge you to try it, because it could help you a lot.
I think that's a fantastic ending point for our podcast.
Yes.
Let's remind them, living in the past
is depression.
Living in the past is depression. Living in the future is anxiety. And what's living in the present?
Well, they say the present moment. What did Rex say one time?
He said
the present moment is a gift. That's why we call it the present.
That's what I was just about to say. Living in the past is depression. Living in the future is anxiety. The present is a gift.
Yes.
Well said. Are there any last words that you'd like to say to the Big Talk Nation listening now?
Mindfulness is key. Exercising, eating, love yourself. Because if you don't love yourself, then you're not living a good life. You gotta learn to love yourself, whether it's through reframing, doing yoga, living in the moment. Find a way to love yourself, because then you can love others stronger. And they can love you more. When you love yourself, people get that energy from you. If you don't love yourself, then you're screwed. Figure it out. Figure out how to love yourself and you'll live a better life. Is that a good way to end?
This has been one of the greatest episodes of Big Talk with Leezy, with your host, Leezy the Gifted, and of course, this very, very wonderful special guest, Laura Liza Gross.
Thanks for saying my middle name.
Thank you all so much for listening. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the podcast. It would mean the world to me. Give it a 5-star review on the iTunes store. You know, write a little comment for me. Share this with a friend or a family member or a loved one. It would just mean the world to me if you all would help spread the movement, because that's really the goal of this podcast for me. It's not just to sit here in my living room and garage and spit game at you guys. The goal is for us to talk to a lot of people, and I want to interview more people too. If you want to get interviewed on the Big Talk with Leezy podcast, please hit me up. If you don't know how to hit me up, I'm on Instagram, Leezy the Gifted. I'm on Twitter. Don't hit me on Twitter. I don't check Twitter. Go on Facebook or Instagram. If you have my phone number, friggin' text me. Yeah, shoot me a text, DM, hit me up. I would love to interview anybody. And shoot, by the way, I tried this one time. I asked people to hit me up, and then people hit me up and didn't know what the heck they wanted to talk about, so I didn't interview them. Hit me up and figure out what you want to talk about, because I don't know what you want to talk about. Ask. Be like, hey, Lee, I want to talk about this and that. Cool. All right? Thank you all so much for listening. Have an amazing rest of your day. And Happy New Year.
No pressure to do anything. yourself.
Just freaking love yourself.
No pressure.
Thanks love y'all. Listening. Love y'all. Thank you so much.